were you when the Second World War started?
14. I remember very clearly the Prime Minister declaring war. The war had been declared and we were listening in the kitchen at Tilty to the radio. 11 o'clock, I think, on a Sunday. My mother was there, my father, and possibly my sister Maud. Well, everybody was prepared for it, I think, really, because they had already invaded Poland, hadn't they? Had the baker shop in London, and my brother worked there, and my eldest sister, they were up there in London during the week. Father used to come down at weekends.
And you were at school here, weren't you?
School, in the village school, yeah. Great Eastern School. Well, in fact, I left school at 14, so when the war broke out, I had in fact started work.
Where were you working?
I was working at the council offices, as done that.
So you carried on working up until...
Until I volunteered for the Navy in 1942.
What made you think of the Navy?
The uniform.
What did your mum think when you were heading off?
I think she wasn't surprised at all. She expected me to go somewhere or other, join the forces. Every boy wanted to go into...
And your brother, was he older?
My brother was older than I, but he was in a reserved occupation as a baker, East London. So he never went into the forces. Of course, in East London, he had probably a more dangerous time than many of us who were away. I was 17 when I joined the Navy. I was actually called up a week, I think, after my 18th birthday.
And what did you think of the uniform when you actually got the chance to wear it?
Very happy to wear it.
What was your first ship?
My first ship was a destroyer, HMS Eaglesford, but of course before that I was in combined operations because, to tell you the story, I was at HMS Ganges for a period of about 10 weeks of preliminary training as a seaman, got to Chatham Barracks and waiting for a ship, and there was a notice up, volunteer dispatch riders required. I was crazy on motorcycles and had one at home, of course. So I went to the drafting master at arms and he said, "Can you ride a motorbike, boy?" I said, "I've got one at home." He said, "You've just volunteered for combined operations. 7 days embarkation leave, draw your tropical kit from the stores." And 7 days later, I was on a troop ship bound for Egypt because at that time, the Mediterranean was closed to ship, and all the convoys went round the Cape to Cape Town and up the other side of Africa to Egypt, a long way round. I think it took a period of about 8 weeks. That was my first sea voyage. And when we arrived in Egypt, we were put under canvas in the desert, training with the 8th Army for an invasion. But, of course, we didn't know where we were going. And after some weeks of training in the desert, we were put into troop ships. In my case, it was the Birgit's Fjord, a Norwegian troop ship, and we sailed through the Suez Canal. And the lads were all predicting where we would go. The wags were suggesting places like Canvey Island. But in fact, when the maps were produced, it was Sicily. And that was the first thing we knew where we were going to invade. And then, of course, as we got towards Sicily, the sea became full of ships. There were ships everywhere because it was a very big invasion. In fact, it was the biggest seaborne invasion of the war, I understand. So we took part in the invasion of Sicily. The nag was that when we got ashore on the first day of the invasion, we had no motorcycles because the merchant ship that was carrying the bikes, the motorbikes, was sunk. So we were told to get motorbikes where we could, go around the town of Syracuse and commandeer motorcycles. And in my case, I had a 600cc Gilera with a red tank, which was extremely fast. I was very happy indeed, taking dispatches backwards and forwards. It was quite an exciting time, and Syracuse was principal port for the invasion. The next step was going to be, obviously, the invasion of Italy. And I asked whether there was any chance of going to sea, because I was an able seaman. And a destroyer, HMS Eaglesford, came into the harbour, and they needed another member of crew. So I was drafted to a Hunt-class destroyer. Now, Hunt-class destroyer Eaglesford would have a crew of about 160. It was the smallest destroyer there was, quite a small ship with 4-inch guns. And our job was to escort convoys around the coast of Italy. For example, we would go from Taranto up the Adriatic coast, Brindisi or Bari, which was as far as we were because the Germans were just beyond Bari, and then escort another convoy perhaps round to Naples on the other side, near Sorrento. Of quite an exciting time because the Germans were in close range and they were the other side. They were in Yugoslavia and Albania and the countries there. And so we were well within range of the Germans. Plus they had bases there with E-boats, and the E-boats were constantly attacking convoys. So the destroyers had quite a lively time. The Exford was would do 30 knots, but she was not one of the big fleet destroyers. It was, as I say, the smallest size one.
Were you injured, Tom?
Never, no. Unscratched. I lost friends in the war, of course, both in Sicily and on the destroyer, and laterly when I was serving in an aircraft carrier. The only person locally that died from this area was Cyril Hitching from Duton Hill, who sat next to me at the village school, and he sadly was killed while serving in the army in Italy, I believe, when they were in the Mount Cassino area.
Did you come home on leave?
Oh, yes, from time to time. I was drafted home from the destroyer in 1944, and of course then I had leave here, and eventually joined an aircraft carrier, qualified as a torpedoman. I was drafted to an aircraft carrier, HMS Vengeance, fleet carrier, and bound for the Pacific. And we then sailed through the Mediterranean down to Ceylon, Colombo. We operated there for a while, and then we sailed to join the British Pacific Fleet, Sydney being our main base, and we operated them from the Admiralty Islands until they dropped the bomb, the atomic bomb on Japan, and the war suddenly ended. We were then given sailing orders to go to Hong Kong to take the surrender from the Japanese, and we stayed there for a period of about 3 months, swinging round the buoy, waiting for the army to come up to take over. The war having ended, it was a marvellous time, really. We thoroughly enjoyed our stay. The only time we put to sea if there was bad weather, when you couldn't risk the ship breaking its cove, so that we used to, in fact, go to sea when there was a typhoon or something.